Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And oh, maybe Dell, we don't have to give up a Rockets win. Maybe we can get a Rockets win and a Toronto Blue Jays win. Dell's trying to get, okay, Rockets got to finish, going to finish in the seven hole, okay?
Or
maybe in the play-in games, okay? So just so the Toronto Blue Jays can get a World Series.
No, this is a question about how much you dislike the Dodgers. I asked a question. I didn't say it had to happen. I gave you an option, and
well,
you really didn't
my
make a
option
choice.
Was, how about both the Rockets and the Blue Jays win?
Fine.
And guess
not
who
that
won?
We had
me.
Any control over
well,
it.
Technically, you said you would take many Rocket losses.
For yeah, so let's
that
be clear about what
I was forced by the devil. Because the devil forced me to
you
do
were
it.
Posed a question, and you said yeah. Rocket failure.
Oh, maybe
because you
we
hate
get
the Dodgers.
Both. Yes. Got both last night.
Nothing dominant. To do with you, though.
Here's
you,
the problem.
You turned on your Rockets pretty quickly.
No. Listen. it's for the greater good. You know what? Even Tillman would have said, yes, I agree. Probably Tillman wouldn't have said that.
I don't know if he would have.
No, Tillman probably wouldn't have.
The Rockets to lose just for the Dodgers.
No, for the Dodgers to
lose.
No. Although, everyone in Houston hates the Dodgers, so there's nothing we can do about it.
Many people hate the Dodgers.
Many people hate
the
Dodgers.
They hate us.
No. I was with some Dodger fans yesterday giving them the business. Go Blue Jays. Yeah, and I told them, I'm an Astro. Oh, we hate you too. Yeah, well, good. Hate us. Hate us all you want. 18-1. What? Yamamoto in game six, though. That's a problem. Listen, Blake Snell, what came into this thing, as good as you can possibly... He was unbelievable in the postseason, and in two starts, they slapped him around. They took care of that Blake Snell business. First pitch, third pitch, home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That was... What a great way to start. He leads off Schneider. David Schneider just he's got that, I don't know, everybody's been talking about his mustache. His mustache is kind of a big deal. And him to go, I mean, Schneider is, he's pushing all the right buttons.
Mm-hmm.
He is pushing. The other night, did you see his quote after the 18-inning game?
Schneider's?
Yeah, Schneider.
No, what did Schneider say?
He said, he was there, he goes, just so you all know, the Dodgers won, they didn't win the World Series, they just won a game. That was one game. This team's going to come back ready tomorrow.
That's a good quote.
That is a great quote. And man, I thought, gosh, this is going to be awfully hard to come back. Listen, Toronto wins that game, and they had plenty of chance to win that game. This series is over. It ain't going to be easy though with Yamamoto tomorrow night. It ain't going to be easy. And then our Rockets, they just look, man. Kevin, we got a quote from their rookie he's talking about Steven Adams, but then he mentions all of the you know, he mentions Alpi and he mentions the Kevin Durant, and he's like, man, that team, holy cow, they loaded. But there's a Kevin Durant throwing it down. They double team Alpi. He kicks it back to Durant. He knocks down a three. Just so smooth. Listen, at the end of the game, I'm going to go get the – it was Kevin Durant scored like 7 points. That was a game that can really get away. That's a game that would have been close last year because they wouldn't have been able to score at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kevin Durant, there is never that time. There
well,
is never
– I mean, Toronto couldn't miss threes.
They were they hit five straight, Rockets still led at the half.
The only reason, yeah, well, the Rockets really locked them down the last 4 minutes of the half. Like, they couldn't score. Toronto, the Rockets finally started to pick up the D. I'm not trying to be negative. I am going to say Ime Udoka is not going to be thrilled with some of the defense he's seeing from the Rockets so far this year. Their rotations, like this team scored 139. Trust me when I tell you that they could have won that by about 25. Like if they start, easily 25. If they start to defend like they can, stop leaving open three-point shooters so much, they got a real problem with rotations right now. They are not playing well defensively, and they still look, and this is the thing, is they're still really explosive offensively now with Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün being, you know, a different version of himself, more consistent version of himself. Yep. But Toronto shot threes. I got to see what they ended up at. I'm sure they're over 50. Yeah, they shot 52.5% from three, but the Rockets shot 43.3.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rockets right now are shooting at over 40% for the year from three. There's probably never been a Rocket team that did that, but the big victory for the Rockets, look at the rebound totals, John. Look how bad that – do you have the box score in front of you?
Yeah, I got it.
Look at how big – I've never seen a win that big in a rebound total.
53-22.
Yep.
Holy crap.
31 rebound advantage. 31 rebound advantage, including 17 offensive boards for the Rockets to 4 for Toronto. The Rockets had 17 offensive boards. Toronto had 18 defensive boards. That's like almost unheard of.
Incredible.
And the big lineup, you know,
yeah.
The Rockets are just big and long. No matter where, I mean, other than Reed Shepard, pretty much everyone has size that comes into the game.
You know, it's interesting. Josh Okogie, he's a guy that Ime likes a lot. He contributes. I was at first, I was like, I don't get it. What's the attraction here? And yet he just does some little things. He was 4 for 5 yesterday. He's in the starting lineup now. Instead of Reed, he's starting him, and it seems to be working out pretty good. But Steven Adams, I'll bet you every single game he's got a plus. He was plus 14 last night in just 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Steven Adams is a difference maker. He does. You talk about, he had 12 rebounds. He had a steal, a couple of assists. He was 5 of 6 from the field for 12 points. Steven Adams is a huge, huge difference maker. Mm-hmm. And yet the other team, well, they were knocking down threes like you couldn't stop.
No, that was the only thing they could do to even stay in that one in the second half is hit threes because they were getting beat on the board so bad. And the Rockets really scored at an efficient clip. I mean, they hit 139.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was just, you know, but here, okay, it's an 11-point game with just under 3 minutes to go. We've seen the Rockets just fall apart in the last 3 minutes. We've seen a team come back, go on a run, and this game was about some runs, right?
Yeah, there were because of the three-pointers, yeah.
251 left. 251 left. They're up 11. Kevin Durant makes 25-foot three-pointer. 232. Kevin Durant makes 2-point shot. 156, Kevin Durant makes 2 of 2 free throws. Seven straight points, it's over. It's game. And it's Kevin Durant. And that is, and then he hit another one with 115 left. And that kept him
at
18.
You know, it's not like Jalen Green never did that. Here's the difference. When the ball leaves Kevin Durant's hands, I expect it to go in.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. With Jalen, I was like, good three, Jalen. Kevin Durant shoots the three, I'm just wondering if the net's going to hardly move.
Yeah, it is. But this is exactly. And, boy, he seems to be having fun.
Yeah, he looks rejuvenated. You know, he's with – you got to remember now, with the Nets, he was with two divas in James and Kyrie. Then he went to Phoenix, and there was a ton of expectations on him. And I don't know how the Phoenix setup was. Like, I don't know how that – I don't know how it is playing with Booker. I don't know how it is playing with any of those guys. But I know with the Rockets, there is a clear cut. I think Kevin likes structure a little bit. I think he likes when things are in their proper place and your room is picked up and your shoes are put away. Because Ime Udoka expects – you're going to keep a nice, clean house with Ime Udoka. You're going to make sure the lawn is mowed. He expects his sons to mow the lawn a certain time. He expects things to be done on time and regimented the way. And so when Kevin Durant goes in, He knows things are going to be running on time. He's not going to have to worry about this drama or that. There's not really drama with the Rockets unless there's something going on behind the scenes we don't know. The most drama we get is Tari Eason's mom tweeting something about him playing more, you know, things being political behind the scenes, something, you know, something like that. That's all you get. I think Kevin Durant just likes to go out and play ball with young guys that are hungry that want to win. Kevin Durant, at the end of the day, really wants to win.
So this is an exchange on Twitter after the game with Kevin Durant. Bait gut, keep trolling five. Can you stop missing free throws, big bro? I really want you to average 30. Great analysis. Kevin Durant says, great analysis, biggest bro. I apologize. I will be even more locked in moving forward, I promise.
Dude, he Roosh was 5 in. Of 8, though.
Roosh gets in. How does it feel early on playing with a big who can force a switch, create a mismatch in the post, force teams to double off of you for easy catch and shoot threes to ice games? Kevin Durant, brother, can't believe it, LOL. Sometimes I'm surprised I'm that open and start bricking. 28 just sees everything. And then Roosh, hey, I love the two-man game, blah, 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 blah. Exactly, we're figuring things out. It just seems like, I mean, you talk about it just seems like he's having fun. It just seems like he likes. I mean, he and Alperen, this is as good. I mean, when you talk about combinations in the, obviously, SGA and Williams, Jalen Williams, great. You know, there are great combinations all over. But this is a top five combination in the NBA.
Yeah, you might be right. I'd have to think about it, but you're probably right, because and one of the big differences, and Kevin Durant mentioned it, and some of the other Rockets have mentioned it, when Şengün catches at the top, you know, he showed off some handles. He can handle the ball. He can cross you over. He's very confident putting the ball on the ground, and so he's now taking people off the dribble and doing it on a frequent basis. And when he does that, when he's got bigs his size, you know, he can get them. He can find an edge and start to break down the defense. And once you break down the defense, either it's Alperen's job to finish and score, or if someone comes to help, that's where the open shots come from. And that's why Kevin Durant, like, as a guy who can just catch and shoot and doesn't have to do as much work to get a shot off, oh, it's a dream come true for him. There is trouble, though, when you look at Kevin Durant's free throw percentage, 84.6.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then his three-pointers below 40%. There are some people, and I don't want to say who in the streets, are saying Kevin Durant is starting to fall apart and getting old because he's not shooting 40-90. So there is a concern there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess there would be.
And he's averaging 3.8 fouls a game. It's his highest number in his entire career. Actually, how is that possible? He's never even averaged higher than 2.4 fouls in a game, 3.8. This just shows it's age, John. Age is catching up
with him. It's catching up to him. Yeah. 84.
Okay, so this is where I have to tell some of you who are in your 20s, that's called facetiousness. Sarcasm. It's not real. I have to explain now because I can't do an emoji or a GIF to show you that it's a joke. So
do
I just want to make
sure
you know it's a joke. I have to tell you because sometimes people struggle with tone and sarcasm, and especially satire.
When you make a joke like that, should I play a sounder?
Yeah, can you come up with something that is like the equivalent of an emoji where well,
to
that's
let people know they
obnoxious.
Can laugh.
That's a
yeah,
little
that,
obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, but it seems like you're making
something
fun of
maybe a little more subtle. It seems like you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of you because Robert De Niro was having a great time watching Problem Child when he was laughing.
Who was that?
It's De Niro from Cape Fear, and he's sitting in the theater watching Problem Child, losing his mind.
That's from that's from the
scary.
Movie when he's in the movie?
Yeah.
And Problem Child is the movie he's watching?
Yes, and he's losing his mind.
By the way, boys, I sent this text, and I noticed that y'all never text back. You guys haven't texted back since September 24th. I went all the way back into the Dell John Granato text string, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the only one. I'm yelling into a...
Yeah, you text a lot of stupid stuff.
No, I don't text stupid stuff. I text great videos, number one, that you need to see. And then number two, Mr. Scorsese. Oh, John.
Oh, yeah.
This has video.
John texted back yesterday.
He talks about all of his.
I texted back yesterday.
I know, but I'm telling you, he talks about his childhood growing up and the Sicilians and everything. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
I know why he makes the movies he makes now. His dad had to get in a fist fight with the landlord, and then the mafia bosses who were kind of clicked up with his dad and. and with the other guy, because everyone had somebody who was on their side, and with the landlord, they got together and decided they were in a fight in the street, and an axe got involved at one point.
I'm just telling you, and they got kicked out of there, giving stuff away. Can we watch it?
It's just a simple story to whet the appetite. And the Scorsese's got kicked out of the neighborhood. The bosses had to go in and say, you know what, you gotta leave the story.
I haven't heard much of what he said.
I'd rather have the neighborhood. Mr. Scorsese, tell me the story.
He went to the seminary. He was going to be a priest, but he liked girls.
Can you stop? I didn't hear a lot of what he said because I'm looking at the group chat. No, I did myself a favor and stopped listening to you. I haven't texted back about anything non-work related since August 20th.
Well, don't be proud of that.
A lot of it is like, well, we got Willie Fritz this day or the time. That's when I've texted back. But anything non-work related,
When we come back, I'm going to talk about what a great teammate I am and a great person. And I'll prove it on the other side.
Just so you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but those little Instagram and TikTok things you send us, never watch them.
Listen, you're missing out on some great stuff. I only send top tier choice Wagyu A5 videos.
That's not true.
That's all I send. And my videos are A5, Japanese A5.
Okay.
Well marbled, funny, great. Great stuff.
Hey,
very
lot,
great stuff.
You send a lot of mystery meat our way, honestly.
It's no mystery meat.
Yeah, it's
no mystery meat.
What is it? What is it when it's not real meat? It's impossible. That's what you send us.
I don't send you impossible. You're not watching it. You wouldn't know.
Okay. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love.
Whoa!
College football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN if you are on YouTube TV. All right, let's go. I'm going to be able to watch. I'm not going to be able to be there, but I want you to be there. And I apologize that I'm not going, but I can't because I'm in Los Angeles. You can because you're in Houston. The Cougs are taking on West Virginia on Saturday at 11 a.m. The Cougs are nationally ranked. 22nd in the country. They're 7-1. They're fighting for the Big 12 title. They need your support. Ticket sales are not great, and that's terrible. And they're starting at $20.15. $20.15 because they're honoring the 2015 Peach Bowl champions. So you'll get to see those guys. They're also honoring the military and first responders. They're also honoring Director of Strength and Conditioning, Coach Hester, who lost his battle with cancer this past Saturday. Coach Hester's favorite color was black, so wear black to honor him. Please get on out there and watch the Cougs beat West Virginia. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. That's 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Maybe the best story yesterday was Governor Landry. He met the media. He says, Scott Woodward, you're not going to pick the coach yet. Okay? We're going to pick the coach. We're going to go eat some gumbo. We're going to go. You ever been to Landry's in Bro Bridge?
There's no chance that he's going to make any more decisions the way he's been putting out them bad contracts.
Wait a minute. You're doing a.
No, I'm not.
That's Jamaican.
No, I'm Cajun.
That's not Cajun.
Yeah, he said the way he's been putting out them bad contracts, there's no way he's going to make that pick. Go put it on. Play it.
He's not going to pick the coach yet.
You're doing a Canadian.
That's not, no.
He's not going to pick a coach, yeah?
No.
You want to go?
Hey, Landry, you can't. Yeah, I'm going to pick the coach. That's not you, Scott Woodward. That's Canadian. That's not Canadian. That is Louisiana.
Canadian.
Okay.
You're both appropriating.
Wendy, help me pick the coach.
Coach.
I don't know what's going on here.
Well, let's listen to Governor Landry.
This is real, by the way. This is not AI. It's not a character I'm doing. This is abs. Do you know
that when I'm listening to him talk, I literally had to stop and I researched to see if I could find this video in multiple places because it was on Twitter. Because I had to make sure it wasn't AI. I swear on my kids. I had to make sure this wasn't AI.
No, this is him. This is sad. Go ahead.
Good luck with
the first question is absolutely correct. We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach.
Coach.
And we're going to make sure that coach is successful. And we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly. And we're going to put metrics on it. Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country. And then leaving the taxpayers on the foot, you know, to foot the bill. So, yeah, I absolutely.
Taxpayers?
Who's that? No. I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. But the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach.
Well, listen.
Head coach.
Now, he does make a point coming up here.
About Rudy Giuliani being the next coach?
No. He makes a point about, you know who Scott Woodward's agent is. You know who Brian Kelly's agent is. You know who.
Yeah.
That is a dirty little secret.
He didn't say that, did he?
Yes.
He said that?
He kept on going and saying, you need to look into this because it's about the agent.
That's the dirty little secret is that a lot of times head coaching hires are done through an offensive coordinator is hired because he's got the same agent as the head coach. That happens a lot.
That happens all the time.
Jack used to be. His agent's same as Nick Caseria's agent.
Yes, he used to be.
I'm not going to say his name anymore if I have to hear Longhorn Scott do his rap.
But here's the deal. Now, he also made a point. He goes, now look at the players got agents too and going to be same agent as the coach and the athletic director. Yeah. I mean.
Well, he must have said that in another clip. He didn't
just
announce
it. Well, it's a full-on presser. I have 2 minutes.
By the way, you know that presser was supposedly for SNAP and Medicaid? Turned into an LSU press. It was supposed to be to address people not being able to get their SNAP funding and Medicaid, and it turned into, is Scott Woodward going to be the one selected? No, Scott ain't never going to be nowhere near that.
He ain't not picking nobody.
He also uttered a falsehood. Scott Woodward's not fully responsible for it.
Okay, so we need to literally. I want this exact information. Scott Woodward was the one who gave Jimbo's original long contract.
Correct.
Then it was
Ross Bjork
who gave him the extension. However, in terms of the buyout, tied to Scott Woodward, though? Is it a certain amount for every year on the contract? Because that would be Woodward then.
Well, Woodward gave him one extension.
Yeah.
But another extension came from, you know the Aggies. As soon as somebody comes sniffing around, they're going to give another extension.
Yeah, I know.
He got the second extension, allegedly, from Bjork.
Well, that's what Dell just said.
Yeah, so it's not full-on $77 million on Ross.
No, but everyone keeps reporting this, and I'm wondering if there's language, Dell, in the contract that for every year, the buyout, you're basically paying the whole contract off. Is what you're doing. What buyout? Your buyout is the contract's guaranteed for the most part. So I don't know what this buyout, like, it's weird that everyone's putting Scott Woodward on everything, but I think it's because there was still a ton of years left from the Woodward.
Well, didn't Scott Woodward at LSU come calling for Jimbo at one point, and that's how Jimbo got his
deal? So that's what some people think he's responsible. No, that's 100% what it was. Woodward and LSU were the ones who are reaching out for Jimbo. And hold on a second. If Woodward's agent is Jimmy Sexton, and Jimbo's agent is Jimmy Sexton, and Jimbo then leverages another deal from the Aggies because one of Sexton's other, look how dirty
that's
that
improper.
Look how that's absolutely incestuous, and they gamed the Aggies into a bunch of money. And you know what else? The Aggies are getting ready to give Elko a big long contract. That's just going to happen. That's a fact. And the Longhorns gave a fat contract to Sark. James Franklin got a fat contract. Kurt Cignetti just got one. Let me ask you something, John.
if we know that for the betterment of the NBA, that they put in caps for years, like you can only give a certain amount of years. This was to protect themselves against owners. This was put into it was collectively bargained where they said, okay, this is our salary cap. Guess what college football implemented? They implemented a cap on spending for revenue share. Although the revenue share in and of itself was a huge win for the athletes, but they instituted a cap. There is no cap on NIL. However, if they have a cap in the NBA to protect themselves against these horrific contracts where baseball gets stung by this all the time, NFL, because it's a shorter term, you know, career, you don't get as long-term contracts typically. They want to get to the market quicker. College football, what would you say if college football said, you know what, we're going to implement where you can't do anything longer than a five-year contract, and we're going to do that to protect universities from these outrageous payouts? I would be all for it. Now, you can have 5 years rolling if you want. You can't give anything more because you still are going to be at a – I mean, let's be honest. 5 years, if they get 1 year in and get fired, it's going to be – a good coach is going to be anywhere from $11 to $13 million a year. That's still a lot of money in a buyout. But I would say, why don't we look at capping how long coaches get paid? And what was Jeff Landry talking about? The people are footing the taxpayers are footing the bill. Taxpayers aren't going to be paying. You're not asking taxpayers to pay Brian Kelly's contract.
No, it comes out of the athletic.
He was just trying to score political
Tiger,
points.
It comes out of the
Tiger. Why would it, why did he mention taxpayers?
Because he's a politician.
Also, Jimbo and Brian Kelly don't have the same agent. Brian Kelly's agent is Trace Armstrong. I believe that's the former defensive end, Trace Armstrong.
Wait, who's yes, this?
It is the
Jimbo's
former.
Is?
That's Dana's agent,
yeah,
too.
Trace Armstrong is Brian Kelly's agent. Jimmy Sexton
Ryan Pohl's agent, too.
Jimmy Sexton is Jimbo's agent. So while the governor had a lot to say, some of it wasn't correct.
Right. Well, and here's the deal. On the Texas Aggies website, the A&M University System Board of Regents voted today to extend the contract for Aggie football coach Jimbo Fisher an additional 4 years through the 2031 season. The board authorized President Catherine Banks to execute the coach's employment in conjunction with Director of Athletics Ross Bjork. So it was Bjork. About $40 million of that comes from Bjork.
So what year was that?
2021.
So that was after their COVID Orange Bowl year.
Yes.
When they made the Orange Bowl.
Yes. September 1st, 2021. So about $40 million of that money is accountable to Ross Bjork, not Scott Woodward. So that's just to straighten that out. For everybody's putting $77 million on Woodward. Woodward's like, hey, Ross Bjork, he sucks too. No, you suck too.
Ross Bjork, I believe, is at what, Ole Miss now or something like that.
Yeah.
Ross Bjork someone sent out a GIF like Ross Bjork like this with his face of, yeah, keep blaming me, keep blaming Scott Woodward. Don't look at me. Yes, yeah,
Ross Bjork at Ohio State, and he and Jimbo. You know the ironic part. Now? Here's the ironic part. People close to Jimbo have told me that Jimbo blames Bjork for killing him behind the scenes when other schools ask about Jimbo when he's trying to get jobs lately. Is Ross? This is what I've heard, is Jimbo says Ross gives him negative, very negative reviews. So the same guy that's helping him to get paid right now, to be, you know, to never have to work again if he didn't want to, is the same guy who, according to Jimbo, from what I've been told by people close to Jimbo, that Jimbo thinks this is the guy that's burying me behind the scenes. But I also heard Jimbo was basically like, hey, I've got so much FU money now. When you give coaches that much money, they can basically say, go bleep yourself. What are you going to do, fire me? Guess what? My buyout is good. I'm good with my buyout. You got to pay me, and I can do whatever I want after that.
Ross Bjork moving around. He was at Ole Miss, at A&M, now at Ohio State.
Ross Bjork also wasn't only Jimbo that he was bad-mouthing. He almost got his ass sued. He was bitter with the whole Jimbo thing. He was bitter. And, Jimbo shut him out. Jimbo shut him, shut him out.
Yeah. No. And, well, that's the thing is, and that's a whole separate discussion. Like, I don't think any head coach should shut out an AD. I think you got to have a better.
Yeah.
I think you got to have a better working relationship.
Unless you walk away with $80 million. Yeah. Who cares?
Well, but that's just a-hole. Well, now it's also like, you know, he put the Aggies in a bad spot. The Aggies have very ugly feelings for Jimbo.
We talked a lot about college football finances and bad people or good people. You led us into the break by saying you're going to prove how good of a person you are.
No, and you didn't let me tell you how good
I am. No, we don't want that. That's
no, 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 no. It's there's
that
proof.
We tell the truth
and
on this show.
Teammate.
The lies are for at 10 o'clock, 10 till noon.
I've got proof, the Pack of Lies show, but proof. I've got literal proof of being a great teammate. Two instances yesterday of being a great teammate, and I may have had a substantial influence on someone's career. I'll save it for the break. And when
we
come back from the
break.
Save
it for the other side. Right now, though, why don't you talk a little Underdog Fantasy?
Let's talk about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy gives you every opportunity to make good money. You're going to take your sports brain and you're going to make money with it. I mean, you can. All you have to do is, you know, frankly, analyze games, watch the games, get a good feel for them, analyze them, be objective, and then break down how the game is going to go, analyze it, and go from there. Kevin Durant higher on points, that's a winner. That was a winner yesterday. You're going to go higher. Now, I thought lower for Alperen Şengün on assists. I was wrong. He went higher than 6.5 assists, and that actually paid out more. If you went higher, that would have paid out more. I know this much. With Underdog Fantasy, what you do is you pick pick a player in any sport, and then you look at all the statistics listed for that player and go find where you think it's soft and pick higher or lower. You do that with any from as low as 2 to as many as 8. And the more you pick, obviously, the higher the money you're going to make. It just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. But keep in mind that if you say, look, I'm going for a big score, I'm going to go with 6 players, but I'm not sure about this one, then play the flex option, because then you just have to win 5 out of 6 and you can still win money. That's how it works. Underdog Fantasy, use promo code Lance on your first deposit and you are going to get $100 in bonus funds and entries when you spend your first $5. So they're giving you free money as well for you to play with. It's Underdog Fantasy, but you must use promo code Lance when you make your first deposit.
Must be 18+ and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playandgetterms_DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER, visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN. 97.5.
It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right.
I am watching this video.
The one that I sent you on our group chat?
No. There's like 40 or 50 kids at this In-N-Out.
Oh, the 6'7 video.
The 6'7. What is the thing with 6'7
it's
with
just,
these kids?
Okay. This, you know, this has actually been going on for probably...
But it means nothing.
Almost
it means
a year.
Absolutely nothing.
It's a meme. It's just some kids said it. It's on a video of a rap song. Somebody says it on a rap song. And then there's some kid of a video in a gym, two kids saying 6'7", 6'7", over and over and over, and they're doing their hand motion up and down. And then there's a reference to LaMelo Ball being 6'7". My kids explained it to me about a year ago. I thought it had died off, and now it's hotter than ever before. You had Clark Lee on SportsCenter dropping on College Game Day dropping a 6'7" reference last week. It doesn't mean it's hard to explain.
It doesn't mean anything.
Because it doesn't really have a meaning. It's just a reference to something that had on a video, and it's become larger than life. And the video that you're talking about, I've seen this happen at In-N-Out Burgers. I've probably seen 5 separate videos where high school and junior high kids will gather there, and you know when they go, order number 52, order number 53, they will go specifically waiting, and they all have their phones out recording. And and you saw, there's probably about 80 kids there, and they're waiting for them to say, order 6'7" or 67, and they go bananas. They go bananas. And it's just, I told not Dan, I said, I have to remind myself, this is harmless. These kids aren't doing, they're not out there, you know, toting guns around. They're not out doing bad stuff. They're just doing something stupid. It's annoying as can be, but it's not harming anybody.
Not malicious.
I have to remind myself this isn't malicious. It's just stupid. It's just chronically stupid.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Because it doesn't have a meaning.
Tell us about how you...
First, my impact on someone, on a young woman's career. And she used to work... Who? Not Barry Warner. Stop it.
He's the new Barry Warner, John.
I'm not the new Barry Warner. Listen to this.
He used to impact young women's careers. He'd take them out to practices.
John McClane.
John McClane.
Well, they both did it.
Mary,
what was her name? Mary. What was her name that used to? Mary Ellen. No. Anna.
Anna Megan Rayleigh.
Yeah. That was one of his girls. And so was, I think, Sarah Eckert was too.
Yep.
Sarah Eckert was too.
Yep.
So anyway, I go to the Rockets on Friday
and
with my boys.
And the person, the woman, and she ended up running Sam Houston Race Park.
Martha?
No.
Burke?
No.
Who?
She ended up being the GM.
What?
I forget her name.
She was one of John's interns?
John McClain brought her around. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I knew. And actually, there was another
one.
You
see, now that's somebody who helped you in careers.
Now, there was another one. There was another girl who one of my friends ended up dating for a little while.
I'm sure that didn't help her career at all.
It didn't. No, it didn't.
No, I didn't
it
think didn't. So. No.
But I got some stories. But anyway, listen, that's not, this is making me look bad.
Who did you help?
Here's who I helped. So I go to the Rockets game, and I'm going to pick up my press pass. Now, I just used it to go downstairs and get banana pudding.
Course.
But I sat with my sons. I paid for three tickets so me and my sons could sit together in the game they lost against Detroit, the home opener. And as I'm going to pick my press pass up, I walk in and I say, hey, I need to pick up my press pass. I forgot my wallet, but I got a picture of my ID and my phone. But my name is Lance Zierlein. I'm with ESPN Radio. She goes, oh, trust me, I know who you are. And I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, I interned for you guys. My name is Natalia. I was like, oh, wow, that's great. She goes, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time still.
I don't remember her.
I said, but she did say, I wasn't there often when you guys were on the air. Like, I would get there when you were already on the air and I was sitting at a different computer. I said, well, how did you get this job? Like, that's great. How'd you get this? And not in so many words necessarily, but she did kind of intimate that she took inspiration from my path of what I did,
what
working for free on weekends, intimated.
What are you talking about?
That basically, you know, I was an inspiration.
What?
How? So?
This is how you affected her career? How?
Yeah, because I can do it. Anybody?
What were her words?
She said she. Ugh, it's a. That was like last Friday.
It is a blur.
It is a blur. A lot of things have happened.
It's true. There's no chance.
A lot of things. No, it's 100. Well. Her name is Natalia.
I'm
she
sure
does work for the Rockets.
Yes.
Marinero.
Those two things are probably true.
I think you would know. And she said she loved the show. She listens and intimated that I was
intimated
a big part of that.
How?
No,
just,
how?
In the ways that she spoke. The different things that she
Get
said.
Get out of here. There's no
so,
chance.
Oh Sam, so now here's who I claim.
What
I claim Dell.
You claim me?
I claim Dell.
How do you claim me?
I claim Sam.
Wait a minute. How do you claim me?
Just I had some. I was talking to management about you way back.
Do? What did you do?
I claimed Raheel.
I'm the one that brought him in like a yo-yo.
You got him fired multiple times.
No. I'm going to tell you right here and now. No, I'm the one that kept going. Bring him back. I don't care. You racist somebody. Bring him back.
Who are you calling racist?
The guy has the same name as a former NFL owner.
Dell knows, but I ain't
for the
saying
Panthers.
It. I'm just saying.
Oh no,
yeah.
That's the exact same name. Then I also claim Sam. Sam's one of mine. And this other guy who was an intern. His name was Colin. I
what
hooked him up with.
What did you do for Sam? You did nothing.
Ask Sam.
Nothing.
Ask Sam.
Okay.
No. I'm the one who went to Todd and said, hey, we had an intern that I think is great. We had to look at hiring her. She's fantastic. You can ask Sam. Sam knows she needs to be bringing me food every week. Because Sam is working at that job because of me. And if I want to enter a job,
her
I can't.
Talent. Oh. Got her there. Did you just threaten her job?
Well,
if I want to end
well,
her job.
She accused me of eating her chocolate covered strawberries, which
rightfully
I would never
so.
Eat
rightfully so.
Fruit with chocolate on it. Who eats that?
I'm still trying
pig.
To figure out how you.
Now, listen, here's how
me.
I was a great teammate. Yesterday, Sean Mapes. We thought he had died at one point.
We did think there was an
issue.
We
couldn't get a hold of him. You didn't know this, John, because you're being a bad teammate taking off. I stayed around and did a whole segment with Dell because there was no sign of Mapes. The phone was running through. He's never late like this. The phone was
when he has to do our show at 7 in the morning.
East River 9.
Oh, that's right.
He did forget that.
I forgot about that. So it's 10:03. The call's going straight through. I say, Dell, I want to be a great teammate. I'll stick around for this segment. I'll stick around for as long as you need is what I intimated.
He did not intimate that.
And Mapes finally made it back after the first segment, but that was being a great teammate. Here's another one. Tom Herman. I reached out to Tom Herman, and I said, hey, coach, He called me back. Hey, Lance, blah, blah, blah. So we were talking. I said, well, I'd love to get you on. We could talk about it. He goes, yeah, I really want to get on. I want to get back into stuff. I know you have you have a lot of influence and sway. And listen, that's not
the point. He never said that.
He said it, but that's not the point of the
Did he
the
intimate
whole thing.
That as well?
Oh, my God.
It was intimated. Okay. What he did, he said he wanted to be on the show because he wants to get back into coaching, and that intimated that I had
a lot of
power
sway.
And, sway.
Yeah, have,
no. and he said
he can maybe get on the Joe Moore committee.
We're not putting him on. He's not an offensive line guy. So it's actually harder getting on that than getting back into the business. But so he said, he goes, yeah, I'd love to talk about the coaching carousel. I said, yeah, that's exact. I said, that'd be great. And he goes, full disclosure, I am going to be on with tomorrow with Jeremy Branham.
That's true.
I said, oh, okay. He goes, but you know what? I could come on your show in the morning. And for a second I thought, what would John do? He would say yes.
Yes.
And then Jeremy would crap his pants because you stole our guest. And you know what I said? I said, I'm a good person. Yeah. I'm on a real run with helping Natalia's career,
Sloppy
helping Dell. And this is what I said.
Helping me?
Yeah, and this is what I said. I said, you know what? No, coach. Let's not do that because it's poor form for me to do that to a teammate.
Call him now.
Why don't we go Wednesday, next Wednesday? So he's going to join us next Wednesday. That's me. And I was looking for a time to go down and tell Jeremy how good a teammate and person I was because I think he has some doubts. He thought maybe I was against his show, which I never was against his show. I went against him for saying, you know, that Jose Altuve wasn't going to be good.
No.
For saying Cam Smith wasn't going to be good.
You excoriated him.
And Cam Smith had his... You know, moments.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
And we turned it into a promotion.
Yeah.
How much you hate Jeremy.
Well, that was Sam. Michael Carroll probably did
What
that.
A great teammate.
Yeah, that one. I mean, that was unfortunate. Oh, so great. I wanted to come down and tell him, hey, just let you know, I'm a really good person.
Yeah, great.
I didn't steal your
guest. Now
we got
sloppy seconds next Wednesday.
That's right, Wednesday.
Does
but we're going to ask
Herman
him.
Herman like being called sloppy seconds?
No, and we're going to ask him the good questions, not the bad questions.
We are.
Let's talk about the Cougs. We're going to ask him the good questions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy won't ask him the good questions.
No, he'll ask the bad questions.
YouTube TV customers, you can lose ESPN. Don't. YouTube TV, go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. You don't want to lose all the great programming from ESPN. So go to keepmynetworks.com. Hey, I got to talk about Ownwell right now. Ownwell is the place to go and get your it's so bad. The government is so bad. I mean, that's all they want to do is put your money in their pocket. Okay? One of the ways that they do this is they always overcharge. And I'm sorry. I exaggerated there. They don't always overcharge you for your tax, your property taxes. 86% of the time they do, though. 86% of the time. That's crazy. Keep your money in your wallet. And here's how hard it is, okay? You go to ownwell.com, you put in your address, and then it's over. Then that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all you have to do, okay? They do everything, and you do nothing. You just sit there and let them reduce your property tax. On average, $1,100. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money that you don't have to pay the government, okay? So, and if you don't do anything about it, it compounds next year. Because guess what? Your property taxes are going back up next year, and they start at that point where you didn't fight them. You got to fight this. Stop overpaying and start saving with Ownwell. Sign up in 3 minutes at ownwell.com/Texas. That's ownwell.com/Texas.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
At ESPN 97.5, we're a family.
Well, if Jeremy Branham says so, I guess Cam Smith is ass. So, boom, there we go. Jeremy Branham's right. That's stupid as crap. That's dumb, Jeremy.
Wow.
Dumb.
Wow.
Or
what a good teammate.
Or not.
What a great, great teammate you are.
Classic Dell to try to bring up old stuff.
No, that's exactly. No,
yeah, talk about what I did yesterday.
I don't know what you did yesterday.
Selfless.
I didn't see any of it.
Had a chance to basically, right now we'd be talking to Tom Herman, taking Jeremy's interview, and I said, no, good teammate. This is the way this is.
Because you know what? I follow the rules. I'm a rule follower.
Okay.
I don't take off at red lights in the middle of the morning because I don't think they apply to me.
Yeah.
That's a reference to John, correct? Well, we
I don't bum rush the Capitol and claim to be on a golf trip. who invented that narrative? Was that you?
No.
It had to be you.
Was it
a listener?
It was either Art or Raheel. I don't remember who decided that's where sometime John was.
Sometimes their comments are the same.
It was Art. Yep.
I'm not sure that no one's ever seen Art. Are we sure that's not a real burner?
Who knows?
Hey, we got to pick a contestant for Beat the Warehouse Live guy.
Mm-hmm.
So at exactly 8 o'clock. At exactly 8 o'clock, 713-780-3776, you call in and caller number two, we never pick caller number two, at exactly 8 o'clock is going to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy. Warehouse Live Guy sucked last week and lost. So, good news for the people. I'm about the people, for the people, by the people, and Justin has to give up tickets and a limo ride from last week because, boy, he sucked. He was terrible. 713-780-3776. Rockets win. And who wants to talk about it? Brian wants to get in here to talk about it. Hey, Brian.
What's going on, fellas?
Good. How we doing?
Doing good, man. I called for the City of Stars. Matter of fact, right when we got Durant, and I mentioned that what I thought the best benefit of getting Kevin Durant, which, I mean, Kevin in itself is a great benefit, but I said I thought the best case scenario is what it's going to do for Jabari Smith. And I tell you what I've seen, just four games so far, I can tell it's already working. And after the game last night, in his interview, he had mentioned that how he works out with KD and just follows him and does everything he's done. And man, these elbow jumpers that he's taken is exactly what Kevin Durant, I wanted him to get from him. And that's going to be so important for his game. He's shooting better on the three. He's put on more weight, put on muscle. So I just wanted to point that out, that I think Jabari Smith can be the best player on this team if he reaches his full potential. Because if he can be 90% of what KD was in his career. But
that's a
just
big,
want to point that out.
Yeah, you're talking about 90% of KD. I mean, KD is going to be one of the top players. That's a lot to ask of Jabari Smith to be 90%. If he can be 60% of KD, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, that's one of the best players in
the best
NBA
players
history.
In the history of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. Now, do I think... I think he is having a positive impact on Jabari, without question. And I think Kevin Durant, it was never about would Kevin Durant be good on his team. I mean, Kevin Durant can fit in with whatever. The question is, how healthy does he stay? And those answers, you know, hopefully we never have to answer that question. Hopefully it's not a concern this year. That's the big concern, is can Kevin Durant stay healthy at this age? He's had an Achilles, whatever. Can he stay healthy? Because if he doesn't, then it's going to be a big problem, because he is a massive, you know, you have taken away two primary ball hands. Well, Fred VanVleet, I mean, that was not a roster thing. That was just an injury thing. But, you know, you did take away Jalen, who's a scorer, and one of the reasons you were able to get to the two seed. He played a part in that without question. But Jabari, Jabari's better. Jabari could be a much better player than he's been up to this point. He's never going to be anywhere near the KD territory.
What do you think of this? Jeff Teague, he's got his podcast is on fire, right? Mm-hmm. And here was the question posed to Jeff. And let me hear what you think of this.
You know where Drew going?
Where
just came?
Philly.
Houston. Drew Holiday is going to Houston.
That's scary.
I just figured it out.
That's a game changer.
Drew Holiday is going to Houston.
That's scary. That's a game changer.
Houston's different.
That's a chip.
Chip.
Drew Holiday going to Houston.
Damn.
Damn. Hey, Drew, get ready. Get your bags packed, brother. You going to Houston.
Another ring.
Drew Holiday. Boy, that would be sweet.
Yeah, I would take it. I would 100% take it. Because here's the thing. I don't think you don't have to necessarily start him, although you would over Josh Kogi. It would basically cut down Reed Shepard's minutes again. 0-for-4 from the 3-point line yesterday, 2-for-7 for Reed.
That's all right.
But it would, it's all right. But I mean, nothing's been impressive about Reed up to this point, and nothing's guaranteed for Reed. So it would take Reed's minutes and, I'm not here for Reed Shepard to be happy and all that. I'm here for the Rockets trying to win a championship. That's the job of Rafael Stone. It's not to try to, I promise you Reed is amazing. No. I mean, if he's not, he's not. So you can still win. You can still be a good GM and miss a pick. That's no problem with that. Drew Holiday makes you even older. You would have to give up one of your first-round picks for Drew Holiday to Portland. And Brooklyn may end up being really terrible this year. But, man, would he be perfect for this Rocket team.
Perfect. That would be something. That would be holy. I don't know. Can they do it? Maybe they have to wait until they can get. They can.
Because he was just traded. Well, because he was just traded. And, but that's. Yeah, Tori sent me that this morning. And I'm like, absolutely consider that.
That would be totally sweet. I mean, that would. Not having a point guard is tough. It's going to catch up. It caught up in the first couple of games. Maybe they'll figure it out without one, without a true point guard. But sure would be better to have one.
No,
sure
would be. Why have a hole? Why have a hole in your roster if you can fix it and not have a hole? You know what I mean? Like, if you have a chance to fix it without damaging the structure of your offense, I mean, of your roster, why not?
Yep.
Why not fix it? Because you've got 2 wins this year. Or is it 3 wins? No, you got 3 wins this year.
Is it just two?
Oh, yeah, it's just your second win.
No. But here's the deal. He brings not only what he brings to the locker room, some shooting, but defense. And right now, this team could use a little defense. They could use a little defense right now. And Drew Holiday brings that to the table, that's for sure. These scores are a little bit disconcerting. How many points? I would imagine at some point Ime is going to go, wait a minute, 139, 121, that's not the kind of basketball we should be playing.
No, it's the defense has not been as good, and it's not really, it has nothing to do with Kevin Durant.
No, Kevin's been great.
He's been okay. It has everything to do with guys are not, they're rotating off of the wrong play. I mean, some of these players are just shooting really well. It is what it is. But at the same time, they're leaving guys open. Their rotations are they're not rotating to open shooters. It's been they're missing guys in transition. They're leaving open 3-point looks. I'm like, man, this isn't Rocket basketball. This defense is sometimes it's borderline bad in the half court. Not on the ball, but off the ball. And there's no way Ime is happy with that. I wish someone would ask him a question about that. Because you know what Ime wouldn't say? Hey, guys, we're sitting here, we just got to win, and you're asking me about defense. You're focusing on the negative. You think he'd be like a college football coach? No. You know what Ime would say is, that's just not good enough.
College football coach.
Do better. Yeah.
What about an NFL
coach? Or NFL, NFL well, college and NFL
in
coach.
This town.
Yeah. D'Amico
what about, what? So maybe.
Brian Kelly did it early in the year. James Franklin did it. Steve Sarkisian's done it. Yeah.
D'Amico.
Yep.
They're all doing it. It's what everybody's doing. And what everybody's doing is calling John Daspit.
Yeah. Well, you should. Young Jazz just called him. She's a host for The Box in the morning, and she speaks for John. And I got a call from my guy, Sean, who is a salesman over there. Said, hey, Lance, she needs to get a hold of John right now because guess what? She got rear-ended. She got jacked up in this accident. Somebody hit her from behind and said, okay, we got to get a hold of John. And John made sure that, she got to the hospital, got everything looked at. Because you got to find out what's going on, x-rays, I don't know if she had MRIs, but of course the x-rays, CT scans. And then, you know, you typically have to wait for a couple of days because you start to really feel the pain a couple of days later, especially if it's muscular, because, you know, you have the adrenaline kicking right after an accident and all of a sudden, that hurts. Ooh, this is bad. Ooh, this is getting worse and worse. That's why the insurance, the lawyers for the insurance company want to get to you as quickly as possible, get a check to you before anything else crops up. They don't want you to, you know, if you have to pay for physical therapy, that's a win for them. They don't have to pay for it. It's not out of their pockets. And so they end up saving money. They're trying to squeeze you so that they can maximize their profits. And I wish that wasn't the case, but it is the case. And John Daspit says, no, my client comes first. The pain and suffering is needs to be accounted for. The time missed from work. And you know, how are you paying your bills if you can't make money? That has to be accounted for. And, of course, all of your hospital bills and beyond hospital into physical therapy, that's got to be accounted for. John Daspit will fight for you. His lawyers will fight for you. And they do an amazing job. So before you do anything else, if you need to make a phone call after you've been hurt, make sure it's the 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or just go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.